chapter number 22. Last Sunday night, I had a little bit had this on my heart, and then the Lord showed up and showed out. Amen. And I thank the Lord for that. And I thank the Lord for these songs. I was thinking of our young people as they were coming up here singing that verse that we said last Sunday night, I have no greater joy than know that my children walk in truth. Amen. And so I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful that you're here tonight. Luke 22 and verse number 31. Luke 22 and 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Father, in Jesus' holy name, I come to you, thanking you and praising you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the people that worship and pray together with us, Lord. God, I pray that you would give me your sweet liberty, and you would give me your Holy Spirit, and you would allow me, Lord, to preach in your power and your ability tonight. Lord, you know what we stand in need of. You know, Lord, what the church needs today. And God, I pray that you would bless us and help us. Continue, Lord, to allow us to reach those that are lost and undone. I pray, God, if there be someone here that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, or maybe someone watching online that does not know you, Lord, that they would come to the saving knowledge of yourself. I pray, Lord, that you would bless our children's church next door and help them. God, bless them and as they labor and work with those children. God, as they have their service, God, I pray that you would help in that. Lord, just bless and use tonight as a place in our memory and a place in our life where we get some help from the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke chapter number 22, we're reading about the Passover. I don't need to get too far ahead of myself, I guess. Let me start out this. I typed something out, but I'm not always good at going back and reading what I typed. But imagine with me the scene. The disciples are seated at the table with Jesus at a meal that we call the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper, either one. And it's at a time of Passover when the meal is commemorating the night that the angel of the day of death passed through the land of Egypt and all the firstborn died of every living creature. However, those whom had the blood of the spotless lamb applied to the top and the side post of their door, their home was passed over, hence the name the Passover. And it's with this endearing event in mind that the Lord Jesus is dining and fellowshipping with his apostles. This is a very fitting time for this story and for this this meal that they're having, because Jesus is about to give himself as the sacrifice so that these and all the world can be passed over, if you will. So knowing what agony lay ahead for Jesus, he makes a profound statement to Peter here, and I read it to you just a moment ago. He says to him, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And when I read that, I thought, my, my, what an unsettling and an overwhelming thing to know. But really, that's the reality for a child of God. Peter is not unique in that the devil desires to have him, that he may sift him as wheat. It means he wants to separate him and bring him as to nothing. He wants to get rid of him. He wants him to be done away with is what the meaning is. And man, that's a strong thing to hear from the Savior and from your teacher and master who's led you for all of these years. It's very unsettling to think of that God knows that you've got somebody that's always on the hunt for you. And I think it would be wise, child of God, that we realize that there always is somebody out to get us. Now, I don't mean that there are friends and neighbors, and I hope that each of us that attend Gateway Baptist Church are not out to get one another. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. I've been in some treacherous situations. I understand that. I get that, and I hope that doesn't happen or is not happening. And if that's what's been planted in your mind by the devil, I pray that tonight you get some peace about that and get done with that. Amen. And so here is this thing that the Lord has just told Simon Peter, and it's got to be terrifying, but it is followed by one of the most comforting phrases in the entire Word of God. So here, a very unsettling phrase, a very profound statement that would have unsettled and upset and overwhelmed old Peter here, but it is followed by this phrase out of the lips of Jesus, "But I have prayed for thee." I'm not sure y'all got that. So here's this situation going on where this man has just been told that there's somebody that's on his scent like a dog on a trail. And he's going to do everything he can to defeat him and destroy him and get rid of him. He's there to sift him as wheat. And Jesus, our Lord and Savior, looks at that same man with this overwhelmed, exhausted heart, and he says to them, "But don't you worry, because I have prayed for you." Amen. I want to preach to you tonight on our great intercessor. Y'all okay? Y'all gonna have to smile at me. My goodness, did y'all eat some lemons before you come here tonight? Come on now, we've got this great intercessor who is, yes, there's the bad news that Satan is always on our trail, but praise God, we've got the good news that the Lord, has prayed for us. Jesus, our Lord, the Son of God, the Word of God, just told Peter that he has prayed for him. And I want you to notice that Jesus speaks in the past tense. He says, "I have prayed for you." And that's exactly what he did and exactly what he said. Jesus was interceding for Peter before Peter was informed that Satan was going to sift him or was going to try and sift him, and before that his denial would happen. What an incredible intercessor that we have. Before the problem came, before the trouble arose, before the heartache showed up, Jesus was already praying for his servant. Thank God for the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word intercede means to intervene between parties with a view to reconcile the differences. You and I are born with enmity in our hearts against God. We are naturally born without an inclination toward God. Our natural birth carries a defiance of God. Our natural birth carries a dishonoring spirit of against God. We look at these precious babies and we see them and think, "Oh man, there's nothing closer to the Lord than this little bitty baby." But the fact of the matter is those babies, those children are born into sin just like you and I were. I remember telling this story and it gets me in a little bit of trouble. We'll be all right. I remember when we had ours were little and they were smaller, and I can't remember if it was Lane or Molly, but one of them just told me an outright lie one day. And I didn't tell them how to lie. I didn't teach them. I didn't pull them off to the side, Caleb, and say, "Hey, here's what you need to do. When I ask you something, I want you to tell me no, or I want you to lie to me about what it is." I didn't tell them how to do that. I didn't teach them how to do that. They just knew to do that. It's bred into them just like it is into you and I. And so they lied to us, and I asked them, and I knew the answer. They continued to lie to me. I caught them in the lie, and you should have seen their little face. It probably was you. I see you back here smiling. Those lies, the disobedience, it comes naturally because that's our nature. That's who we are. So we don't have an inclination to go toward God. We have an inclination of enmity and against God and to get away from God. But then along comes our Savior who intercedes for our cause and in His intercession gives grace to you and I to reconcile the enmity that we have against God and toward God and turn that into love and affection and care for Him. That's the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't just wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm going to love Jesus. No, that precious Holy Spirit woos us to Him. Y'all okay? Newsflash. It is not about you. It's about Jesus. And what He has done and His finished work, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit, but the intercessor is one who intercedes. Intercessor and intercession are synonymous because intercession requires an intercessor. That means if someone is there, then someone must be there. If someone's praying, then someone must be the one that's praying for us. Jesus is our intercessor, and He intercedes for us to the Heavenly Father. Looking at Him as our intercessor, I want to look at a few qualities of His. I know the five B's of preaching. I know that it's a holiday weekend. The first one is the thoughts of our intercessor. Isn't it good to know that Jesus thinks about us? You think about all the things that He's got to worry about. Think about all the things that He does on His, if I can say it this way, His day-to-day basis. Think about all the things that come through His mind. Sometimes getting to make decisions and about things that I make decisions about, I feel overwhelmed and I feel like it's just too much for me. And I then have to remember, man, think about how the Lord is. I mean, He causes the sun to rise and causes the moon to reflect the light of the sun and causes the stars to twinkle. He doesn't allow, the Bible says in the book of Job, that He holds the seas bounds to where they can't come any further. That's how I know global warming's a hoax. Uh-oh. Amen. You're reading Genesis chapter number 8. As long as there's seed time and harvest, amen, God's got this thing under control and He's not going to relinquish control of what the sea does or what the moon does or what the earth does just because science believes it to be so. He's got everything under control and He still thinks about you and I as He did with Israel to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He knew what was going to happen to old Peter. He knew that Peter was going to deny Him. He knew that Peter was going to walk away. He knew that Peter was going to cuss just so he could prove that he didn't know who Jesus was. And yet he still had a fish waiting for him there at the seaside when Peter come to his senses. Amen? That great intercessor of ours always is thinking of us and always has us in mind to give us an expected end. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what's coming. God doesn't get caught off guard. God doesn't get surprised by anything. Nothing's ever occurred to Him because He already knows. And thank God for it. Psalm 92 and verse number 5. O Lord, how great are Thy works, and Thy thoughts are very deep. Psalm 40 and verse number 5, the Bible says, many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. They are precious thoughts. He said, they're which to usward. He is mindful of us. Do you realize that? That even as small as you are, even as insignificant as you feel. You know, sometimes we get to feeling small and we get to feeling insignificant, and there's nothing wrong with having those thoughts, friend of mine, child of God. There's nothing wrong with thinking, man, I sure ain't nothing. I promise you, friend, there's nothing. But know in your heart that the Lord God of heaven and earth thinks about you, knows who you are. Oh, preacher, I couldn't ever get up there and preach the way that you do. That's all right. You're not me. Amen. I couldn't ever get up there and sing the way some of you guys sing. That's all right. I ain't you. God's designed you for His glory, for what your purpose is. And God's got me for my purpose. Friend of mine, it's not about who can do what. It's about that Jesus has thought about us, to us word, and gives us special gifts of what we stand in need of. We're not in competition. We're together on this thing.
Amen.
Thank God for all of these various churches around here, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches that love the Lord God. We're not out here to get something over on them.
Right.
Amen?
Come on.
We're just out here to love God. There's people that they can reach that we'll never reach. I think about Austin all the time. I think about the people that he reaches in his ministry. There are people that are open to the gospel message when Austin walks up to them that would be completely closed to me. They'll stand there and listen to the gospel from his little lips, and they'll hear what he's got to say. There ain't no telling how many people have been won to the Lord by that little fellow that can't talk plain. Y'all better say amen right there. There ain't no telling what he's done and how God has used him simply because he's a willing vessel, willing to say, I'm not worried about who gets glory. I'm not worried about who gets credit. I'm not worried about who gets notoriety. I just want Jesus to be known. These are his thoughts to us word. He thinks about us. I guess I need to stick with my notes, huh? They're precious thoughts. He's mindful of us. They're persistent thoughts. They cannot be reckoned in orders, what the Bible says. We are consistently in the thoughts of God Almighty. Every move that He makes is with our best interest in mind. And we know that all things work together for the good of them. We know that the things that are working together, He didn't say that all good things work together. See, there's some people that get that word good mixed up and they take it out of one place in that verse and they put it at the beginning of that verse, and we know that all good things, there's liable to be some bad, horrible, horrific things happen in your life. But those things happen so that God can bring you where He wants you to be. Oh, it don't seem like it. Oh, there's nothing joyful about going through a trial. There's nothing joyful about going through a tough situation. There's nothing joyful about facing mental illness or dealing with depression or discouragement or all of these things that the devil sends our way. But God allows them because those things create us and turn us into who we are. And persistently He thinks, hey, I'm going to let this go through because they need to learn right here. It's hard, but it is true. His thoughts can't be reckoned in order. We're consistently in His thoughts. We have plenteous thoughts. They're more than can be numbered. We can't even count how often God thinks about us. The very hairs of your head are numbered. They're numbered. Some of us a little easier to count, Brother Jeff, than others. But you think about that. The hairs on the top of your head, God knows that. The verse is not to explain the mathematical genius of the Lord.
Amen.
The verse is to demonstrate the intimate care that our Father has for us. So much so that He knows the hair of your head. He knows every sparrow that falls. He knows every broken heart. He knows every disappointment. He knows every trouble and trial that we face. And all of these thoughts and all of these things that we go through, He's intimately there. And He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, For I am meek and lowly. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the God we serve. This is the great intercessor who's making intercession for you and I. He's there currently doing this for us, having those plenteous thoughts. Psalm 139 and verse number 17 said, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." There are the thoughts of our faithful intercessor. Then there's also the work of our intercessor. Now remember that an intercessor is one that intercedes between parties for reconciliation of their differences. So the work that Jesus did and is currently doing is of the utmost importance. And here's why. One, it is a completed work. Colossians 2 verses 10 through 14, the Bible says, "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross." God's plan of salvation is complete. Jesus has finished the work necessary for salvation. There's no work you can do to earn salvation. Jesus has met the requirements and fulfilled the law. Jesus has shed His precious blood to atone for our sins. Jesus alone has given life. Jesus alone has risen from the dead. And Jesus is currently seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and I. What a great privilege to know that when we call on Him, He's there to hear. I'm grateful that as a child of God, we have the privilege of knowing that we can call out to Jesus at any time, at any place, at any moment. I think the places where it has been the most real to me, if I could say it like that, is in my dark time of discouragement. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're the pastor. You can't get discouraged. Let's walk a little while. Amen. You know how many times I've quit on a Sunday night? You know how many times I've thrown in the towel? You know how many times that I've said, you know, I'm just done? There's an old song that says, "I can't quit when there's a fire burning in my soul. Sometimes I want to lay it down, and He gives me strength to carry on. I know while on this battlefield there's times I'll face defeat, but I can't quit when there's a fire burning in me." Oh yes, sometimes the flesh is weak, but when the Lord gets the most real with you is when you're just at that breaking point and you finally decide, "I'm just going to turn it over to Him. I'm just going to lay it at the feet of Jesus. I'm tired of carrying the burden. I'm tired of carrying the weight. I'm tired of dealing with the frustration and the hurt and the heartache. I'm just going to give it to You." And in that moment He says, "Hey, I got this thing." Right. His completed work brings me peace. It is a continuing work. Wait a minute, preacher. You just said it's completed. The work of salvation is done. But we just got somebody that just goes ahead and stands up for us anyway. This may shock you, surprise you, or even stun you. But you're still capable of sinning against God. You're capable of that. Not only are you capable of it, you probably commit it. Oh, let's just go on ahead and get honest. You do. I don't know where it is that we think that we don't sin. You ever run across somebody like that? I'm no sinner. Man, you need to get honest with yourself. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Unfortunately, even when we're saved, we still sin against God. We still do ungodly things. Romans chapter number 7 outlines that pretty well for us. The great apostle Paul talked about that thing that I would not do. That's the thing that I do. And then he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He also, in 1 Corinthians 15, said that he sins and dies daily. Does that mean that he literally dies? No. That means that he dies to the will of his flesh and walks in the newness of life through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that means. So his work continues in this way. Hebrews 4, verses 12 through 16 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." I'm going to stop right there at the end of verse number 12. And I want to hit that about, I mentioned it at the beginning of service about our daily Bible reading and the reason why that it is so important to Christians. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." I can stand up here for hours on end and I can preach to you and I can point out things. I can call out sin. I can show you Bible truth. I can give you doctrine. I can preach to you sweet messages about heaven. We can go through all of that week in and week out. But there are times in your life where only the Holy Spirit of God can reveal something to you. And when you're sitting in the far reaches of your home and it's just you and God, and you open up that Bible and God reveals something in your heart. I know he wouldn't mind me telling this, but if I can tell this, and I know he may be watching, but a while back, Brother David, me and Brother David were on the phone, Brother David Bass, we were on the phone, and we were talking, and he asked me, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but when he first started as our choir leader, he had earrings in both his ears, and he said, I'm proud of them, and I got these, and he talked, and I said, "Hey, you know, whatever, man, I just want you to sing." Amen? Y'all okay? Hey, me and him, you know this story, you know where I'm going. I know he's watching online. And he called me one day, and he said, "Brother Josh, I got a question for you." I said, "Okay, shoot, brother, let's hear it." And he said, "Has my earrings ever hindered the ministry of our church?" And I said, "Yeah, Brother David, actually they have." And I told him what had happened. And I thank God. And he was receptive. And he said, "The reason that I ask is because I've been studying about this in the Bible. And I've been trying to prove that I'm right." And he said, "Everywhere that I found in the Bible where people had a hole in their ear, it was because they were slaves to something." Ladies, don't jump on me. I ain't preaching against earrings. I'm telling you about Brother David's experience. And he said, "I just can't justify them." And the next Sunday he come in, and I never told him, "Don't put them back on." I never told him not to wear them. But the Holy Ghost sure did. And to this day, he'll tell you that story. That's not me. I can't tell you. If there's something wrong in your life, I can tell you till I'm blue in the face. All that's going to do is make you more adamant to do it the way you want to do it. But when the Holy Ghost sets down in your heart and He shows you Bible for what you're dealing with, He'll take care of you. When He lays it on you and says, "Hey, here's the reason that I'm giving you this. Here's the Bible that backs it up. There are things, there are ministry that the Holy Spirit of God can do that simply the church cannot do and your pastor can't do." It takes the Holy Spirit of God working through the Word of God, because the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why you see a sinner get brokenhearted and come running down to the altar with tears in their eyes. It's not because the preacher waxed eloquent that day. It's because the Holy Ghost got a hold of their heart and showed them their need of salvation. Yes, sir. When somebody comes repentant, it's not because you preached and busted hide and skinned it real good and made somebody mad. It's not about that. It's because the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of their hearts and done something in their heart and in their life. That's the stuff that sticks. That's the continuing work of the Lord. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and the discerner of thoughts and intents of the hearts of the heart. Friend of mine, that Word of God will do things in your life that no church will ever be able to do. But you have got to get into the Word of God. It's time for you to graduate from the sippy cut and get a hold of the steak knife and get some of that good meat of the Word of God and get in there, read it for yourself. Now, let me tell you this. He may give you something and you come to me and say, man, you got to read this verse, preacher. This verse is going to change your life. And I look at that verse and read it and be like, yep, I've seen that before. God give you something out of it that He don't necessarily give me. Watch this in Hebrews 4, verse number 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest or made known in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is continuing to hear our prayers and make our pleas before God. Our faithful intercessor, He is doing a wonderful work. There's one more. We have the victory through our intercessor. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, these verses are dear to me. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In school, we're told to use our imagination. And I like to imagine. Years ago, I laid in the driveway with Molly, and we looked up at the clouds. And we imagined what was there in the clouds. You remember that? No. Thanks for the support, babe. Just kidding. And we saw dogs and clowns and cars and buses. We saw all these incredible things. We imagined them. Of course, there were not cars flying through the sky, although the cartoons said there was supposed to be by 2024. There was none of that going on, but we could imagine those things. But there are times when my sinful heart imagines ungodly things. And those imaginations exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And those imaginations cause my mind to lust in ways that I should not go after. No lust is good. And they cause my mind to go in directions that are against God. And the Lord said, cast down those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every single thought. Bobby Brindle used to say, it's the little foxes that gets under the fence. It's the little things that'll run wild in your imagination, and those little things grow into big things. Before you know it, lives are ruined because of a thought that was not held captive by the Word of God and brought into the obedience of Christ. Can I give you a demonstration of that? Can I tell you what that sounds like? You think something you're not supposed to do, you're not supposed to think, and instead of developing that thing and letting your imagination run wild, here's what you do. Stop that thing. Why'd I think that? Get rid of that. Why'd I think that? Why'd I have that thought? Lord Jesus, there's a thought in my mind, and it's ungodly, and I need you to get it out of my mind. See, we trust this more than we trust this. We trust our logic. The problem is that our logic gets flawed by things that flatter us. Things that make us feel good, things that make us think things we ought not to think, those things flatter us. And because they flatter us, we want more of that. We like that dopamine hit, don't we? That little feel good that comes along and smacks you in the head and says, here, that's all you need. And you get that little hit. After a little while, it wears off, so you got to make that imagination greater. And when you imagine more, it begins to grow and grow and grow and grow, and eventually it eats you alive. And it encompasses your whole life, and it becomes who you are and what you are rather than being a child of God.
You're right.
I'm a child of the Most High God, and the Most High God's in me. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Casting down these imaginations. You don't have to be what your mind thinks.
Amen.
You don't have to live what your mind thinks to live. Casting down those imaginations. Our great intercessor is there to help you with that. And when Jesus intercedes for us, He has heard of the Father. Lord, I can't get this thought out of my mind. I want you to realize something. If you got thoughts that are intrusive and thoughts that are imaginations that are taken over or seemingly taken over, one, you are not alone. You are not alone in that battle. Number two, the Lord Jesus Christ still loves you. And the way that I know that sick, depraved things go through our minds is because I also have a mind. Sometimes watching the news, Miss Tara and myself will look at each other and think about someone, will say, if you can think it, somebody has done it. But Jesus makes that intercession for us. Y'all okay with me just being real tonight, will you? Look here, we got Christians that face real battles, real struggles. And so we have the real Word of God written by our real God who gives us real solutions to the real problems that we have. And His prayer is triumphant, and He imparts to us the victory that He's already secured. Watch this, 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. That's why I get sick to death of this crowd that talks about casting out demons and stuff. In the Bible, when that came around, and they got to talking about that, This is what happened. They said in the name of Jesus, we rebuke you. And this is what the devil said to them. Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who in the world are you? Thinking we have authority is not authority.
Amen.
The authority is in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in us. By the way, if you got to make a social media post to establish that you can cast out demons, you're lying. And you're not doing it for the glory of God, you're doing it because you want notoriety. If you need to make a social media post about something you do for the Lord, you're not doing it for the Lord, you're doing it for your own glorification. You're doing it to get influence and to gain followers and whatever else comes along with that. That doesn't glorify God. That glorifies you. The Lord's Prayer is triumphant. And He imparts to us that victory that He secured, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, our faithful intercessor. He's faithful. And He will always be faithful. And He will always intercede. Because He loves us. Father, in Jesus' holy name, Lord, you've heard this message. You allowed me to study. You allowed me to type. Lord, I pray that I put aside my selfish reasons, and I would give you glory. Lord, I pray that every Christian in here tonight would give you glory. The way that you've brought us through, the way that you've delivered, the way that you have made intercession for us. Lord, it is all about you. Help us, Lord, to look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us, Lord, to lean on your everlasting arms. Help us, Lord, to seek you. Help us, Lord, to walk in your way. Give us, Lord, what we stand in need of. As you taught us to pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Work in this invitation time. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with us tonight?